here's a story from The World.
We close the show today with a story of Goliath versus Goliath. That's how Cameroonian author Imbolo Mbue describes her new novel, How Beautiful We Were. It's set in a fictional West African village where locals are facing off against a fictional American oil giant that's polluted their land and water. The company and their briefcase-toting executives are able to buy the cooperation of many villagers. Others are determined to fight back. Imbolo Mbue spoke to my colleague Marco Werman. She told him their motivation was to pass a bit of their pain along to their tormentors.
On the surface, it looks like it's very imbalanced. I mean, and it is. This is a powerful corporation. But I think that people need to realize that small African villages also have their own powers. And these villagers, their determination to hold on to their land, their connection to their ancestry, their willingness to risk everything for the sake of preserving their way of life makes them a Goliath also.
Mm. Again, this is a novel. It's a fictional corporation and a fictional village. But you did grow up in Limbe in Cameroon, a coastal town that has an oil factory. Yes. How much of this novel is an account of the world you grew up in?
Even at a very early age, when I was a young girl, I was very aware of the politics of oil. I also grew up in a dictatorship. Cameroon has had the same president for almost 40 years now. So my whole life, we had the same president. I am also Anglophone Cameroonian. And most people don't know that Cameroon is bilingual. Most Cameroonians are French-speaking. And I come from a minority that speaks English. That definitely put us at a disadvantage. So certainly, as a child, I was very uncomfortable with injustice.
So Tula, she's the young woman who leads the rebellion. She's a complex character. She's a charismatic leader. But in a society like this where tradition and religion are so important, would you find a firebrand like her? Do they exist?
Well, that is a very good point, Marco, because I have to say that when I started writing this novel, the character of Tula was more of a man. It was actually Tula's father was the person that I wanted to write about the revolutionary, and that is because I grew up in a world where most of the revolutionaries who were celebrated, the firebrands, they were men. So I'm talking about growing up in Africa in the 80s and 90s, where we were celebrating the likes of Mandela, Patrice Lumumba, Thomas Sankara, and Stephen Biko. And they were all men. So I didn't really consider that character to be a woman so much until I actually started thinking about the fact that there are women like Tula out there. We just don't talk about them as much. Their stories are not written about as much. And I really wanted to explore what it's like, not just to be a revolutionary, not just to stand up to change, but the unique prices that you have to pay as a woman to do such a thing.
Having a charismatic leader like that, leading a rebellion like this against a big American oil company, I mean, is that wishful thinking, though, a leader of any gender who can do this?
Well, that is a wonderful thing about literature, I suppose, you know, that it allows us to dream. Without giving away the story, we see what happens, you know, with her rebellion. It was important to me that I be honest in the way I portrayed everything, that even though these villagers, they wanted to fight against this American oil company, even though they had such passion, it was important that I show how lopsided it was and how much not only the American oil company that was against it, but also their own government and even some people in the community who were not exactly in support of the struggle. I do think that there are lots of Tulas in the world. I've read a lot about women, especially in Latin America, who are fighting against environmental destruction of their lands. So it wasn't exactly a case of being wishful that this can happen. It was more about portraying, honestly, the lives of people who choose to risk so much for justice.
I'm speaking with author Imbolo Mbue about her new novel, How Beautiful We Were. We've actually been covering the recent ruling that allows Nigerians to sue Shell Oil in Britain over oil spills. There's a similar ruling in a court in the Netherlands. What do you make of that news? Will it make a difference in Cameroon?
Yes, I was so happy when I heard it. And part of this story came from that need to understand why more wasn't being done to push back, to make these companies realize that you can't just destroy people's lands because you want to get their oil. And I mean, part of my novel was inspired by a great Nigerian activist named Ken Saro-Wiwa, who was murdered by the Nigerian government at the time.
Because Ken Saro-Wiwa, of course.
Ken Saro-Wiwa, that's right. He stood up against Shell and he was hung to death.
Well, Ken Saro-Wiwa likely inspired people like Nimo Bassi, an environmental justice activist in Benin City, Nigeria, who we spoke about recently, about the ruling in the UK. I just want you to hear this moment in our conversation. When you go to the market in Benin City, do you purchase fish from the Delta? And when you see fishmongers, what they're selling?
No. Well, you know, it's actually in Benin City, you can purchase fish and hope that they're not from polluted waters. But if you go to a place like Port Harcourt, which is the oil capital of Nigeria, you would need to really be very hopeful that what you're eating is safe. Because the entire environment is so toxic, people have just resigned to just eat whatever they can lay their hands on.
It's so painful to hear him say that because it is not an easy fix. I mean, there's been so much pollution, so much degradation in the environment that you can't exactly hope that, okay, we're going to take this money and just clean the waters and then we can start eating the fish. You know, I am uncomfortable with the idea that Africans cannot get justice, you know, in their own country. They have to go to foreign courts to get justice. Mm. Even though a Western corporation comes and destroys land over there, we have to go to a court in The Hague or the UK, you know, to get the corporation to give us justice.
The motives of the villagers in this book who take on big oil, they're not pure motives or one-dimensional. What do you think the nuances are of this big oil company versus mm-hmm. small village with lots to gain narrative? What do you think mm-hmm. outsiders don't really appreciate about that?
Marco, we are all humans, right? African villagers are humans, and the people who work in corporations are humans. So it was important to me to not just portray a story of you know, all these wonderful African villagers, they've been treated poorly, and they're such good people, and they have this noble fight. Because, yes, they did have reason to fight, but they also had their own flaws. Tula had her flaws, like you mentioned earlier. The village head is, you know, we don't even know which side he's on. And there are many people who make poor choices. And at one point, without giving away too much, there is a use of violence. So I wanted to think about what it's like to be human and to be flawed and to be fighting for justice and to put all of your flaws within that struggle.
Imbolo Mbue's new novel is called How Beautiful We Were. It's set in a fictional African village called Kosawa, where residents take on an American oil giant. Imbolo, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Marco.
From PRX.